As a mom or dad, how do you handle those unanticipated encounters with your son when he openly defies your authority with caustic and angry responses? And what do you do when your daughter announces she's in love with someone you know threatens a healthy future? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll introduces a message for moms, dads, aunts, uncles, and grandparents, and anyone who longs for peace and tranquility in the home. What you're about to hear is part of his classic series on biblical parenting. And we'll begin by reading God's Word together.
We're looking at two sections of Matthew's Gospel. One is a couple of verses in Matthew 5. Then if you will hold your finger there and turn to Matthew 18, beginning at verse 21, you'll be at the right place for both of these readings. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 23, and then Matthew 18, beginning at verse 21. Matthew 5, 23, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering." Matthew 18, beginning at verse 21. "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?' And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart."
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Resolving Those Parent-Child Conflicts.
Louis lived for the day he could murder him. He longed for the time when, with his own hands, he could reach around the neck of the monster and strangle him to death. That was his longing, and it had been his for a long, long time. The era was the early 1940s. It was bad enough that Louis and his buddy Phil wound up in a rubber life raft in the implacable Pacific Ocean, enduring the heat and the storms and the sharks, the death of fellow crewmen as they perished at sea. But Louis and Phil lived to tell the story. And wouldn't you know it, after 47 days at sea, 47, they spotted land. But to their great disappointment, it was an island occupied by the enemy of our nation at that time, the Japanese, who immediately took them under arrest, dragged them to a prisoner of war camp, and began the torturing. It was merciless. Especially that soldier they came to call the Bird, who took special sadistic delight in beating, if he could, the life out of Louis Zamperini. For some reason, that was his special project. Every day, he would wind up taking his belt with its buckle on the other end and striking Louis again and again and again across his face and neck and back. It was horrible. Horrible. Well, as we all know, the day came when they were liberated. Unfortunately, the Bird escaped. He flew to another island and yet another, and finally found his way into his homeland of Japan, where he hid out. The war officially ended, but not in Louis's life. The war raged. He came home to these United States, became a hopeless, pathetic alcoholic, drank hard, turned brutal, was a negligent and ugly husband, eaten up with bitterness, until God intervened. As only he could plan it, toward the end of that 1940 era, he led a young evangelist to set up a tent in the very city where Louis lived, Los Angeles. And Billy Graham preached his heart out night after night after night. Oh, Louis went a time or two to placate his wife, who thought maybe this will be the solution to our miserable marriage. But Louis walked out, could care less what that fool said down there as he was holding his Bible high and talking about what God said. Finally, toward the end of the series, she said to Louis, "You know, Mr. Graham said he's going to preach tomorrow night on the Bible and science." And she knew that Louis was intrigued by science, and so she encouraged him to come again. And he did. And it wasn't long before he was disgusted all over again, and just as soon as Mr. Graham asked that every head be bowed, every eye closed, he decided to stand up, and just as he was about to exit, something happened. A large choir was singing, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." He was riveted on this young evangelist, and something changed. Laura Hillenbrand, in the book Unbroken, which you must read, writes this: that night, the sense of shame and powerlessness that had driven his need to hate the bird vanished. The bird was no longer his monster. He was only a man. Louis felt something that he had never felt for his captor before. With a shiver of amazement, he realized it was compassion. At that moment, something shifted sweetly inside him. It was forgiveness, beautiful, effortless, complete. For Louis Zamperini, at long last, the war was over. In this great big world, there are thousands of stories like Louis Zamperini's, not in the details, but in general. It is doubtful that one person listening to me right now has spent these years on earth without hurting someone else or being hurt by someone else. It's part of life. As we taught our children, and as you are teaching yours, life isn't fair. We are not all created equal. Oh, in theory, of course, but not in reality. No, no, certainly not in families. No two are the same. Your lack of forgiveness may be traced back to some sibling rivalry that was allowed to go on until it led to bullying, and finally, who knows what other abuses became yours to endure. Or perhaps it is between a parent and one of the children, or maybe more than one. Not only between brother and sister, but between mom and dad and son and daughter. Maybe the abuse came from your father or stepfather or a coach like Sandusky. It could be that you have been offended by an ex-wife or a former husband. And in the night when you can't sleep and you awaken, you can see that face and you hate him. You resent her. I will tell you before I go one step further, regardless of the details, regardless of what may be your lot, the key is forgiveness. How you work it through and when, how God opens doors and closes others to bring you to that point, if I could get on my knees to convince you even more, I would plead with you to forgive, or to seek the forgiveness of one you have injured. I realized as I read that book, some sections of it as much as three times, I was reading a remarkable story of how God's grace can enter into a life and change a man from murder to compassion. Because it is such an important word woven through the fabric of this entire message, we need to define forgiveness. If you were to pull your Webster's dictionary off the shelf and look up the word forgive, you would read, it means to cease to feel resentment against someone, to excuse another for a fault or an offense, to renounce anger, to pardon. I would add to release all feelings of bitterness, to give up any and all desire to seek revenge. It would also include refusing to hold anything against anyone, regardless of how wrong it was. The results of that would be pardon for others and relief for ourselves. True forgiveness resists any idea of getting back or getting even. Some of you, unfortunately, because you have become so bitter, have to hold on to your seat to keep from walking out right now. That tells us immediately the trap you are in, and you will not win. You will lose this one. I've never known anyone who became better for holding on to bitterness or refusing to forgive, not one. For the balance of this message, I'm going to ask you to think about those in your family especially. Again, one of your children, son or a daughter, one of your parents, mom or dad, maybe a grandparent, your brother or your sister, a relative, a former mate who has made life hell on earth for you. I'm going to ask you to visit those mental scenes and to forget for a few moments that you're surrounded by others who are doing the same. This is your journey. This, as you will see, is your move. There are two major issues we must address if we're going to deal correctly with the subject of forgiveness. Here's the first. When we have caused feelings of resentment in the life of another, when we are in the wrong, when we have offended them or him or her, because we have wronged them, we know they hold this against us. But you've never made it right. It lingers. So much so that there may be a distance between you and that person because you have never gone and sought forgiveness. The second, there's another issue, and that's the one we will take up following this first one. When we feel resentment toward another who has hurt us because of some wrongdoing, they've offended us, and we're now left with the consequences of an unforgiving spirit, the deep hurt. Even a glance at a photograph of that individual turns you away. You would not speak to the person if he or she walked into your presence. You'd go to the other side of the street if you saw him coming. Or worse, you'd get even. Let's take them in that order, all right? The first is addressed in Matthew 5, the second in Matthew 18. So turn, if you have not already, to Matthew 5, 23, and understand a custom of that era. In the first century, when you went to God in prayer, you would often bring an animal. The animal was there for you to slit its throat and to bring the blood before the altar so that that animal sacrifice would represent your sincerity and would be the scapegoat to take the place of your sinfulness, and you would plead your cause before the one you call your God. That's what it means when you are presenting your offering at the altar. Today, we would simply say when you come for worship, when you bow in prayer, when you are at home in your own time with the Lord, whatever time that would be, when you come to present your cause, your words, even your praise to the Lord your God. Now please note what it says. And there, remember that your brother, your sister, your former mate, your mother, your relative, your father, and you remember that that person has something against you. See where the blame is? You're at fault. Whatever it was, you did it, you said it. Could have been brutal, could have been inappropriate. It could have been repeated, it could have been once. But you deeply wounded that person. And in your time before the Lord, you are told not to continue in prayer. It's the only time I know in all the Bible where a prayer is to be interrupted by action taken. Look at what it says. Look at the verbs, verse 24. Leave, go, be reconciled, and then come and present your offering. Study those words. They provide you with an order of events. There you are before the Lord, and somehow the Lord brings to your mind this individual. Don't know how he does it. Don't know why he waits until this moment, but he does. That's his business. We take care of ours. In this time before him, you are seized with the realization that you are really at fault. What do? Look. You leave your offering there, so don't even continue any further. As soon as you can, as soon as it's practically possible, leave the offering there, and you leave and go. Notice the order. First be reconciled, then present your offering. The key word is reconciled. We rarely use it, but on occasion we hear it. The Greek word is dialosomai, from two words compounded, put together, dia, D-I-A, meaning through, and alosso, meaning to alter, to change, to make something different. Stay with me. The suggestion in the word dialosomai is that we go through the process of bringing about a difference. An old and somewhat reliable lexicon, Abbott Smith, states, the word denotes mutual concession after mutual hostility, changing enmity for amity.
This is Insight for Living. Please stay with us to hear our teacher close today's program with a final comment. Today, we're talking about resolving those parent-child conflicts. And if you'd like to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. It's possible you've been listening to Chuck Swindoll's teaching today with a measure of regret. Perhaps you're thinking about a broken relationship that needs attention. Well, there's a number of helpful resources prepared for you and found on our website. But I'll point out one that's especially relevant. Chuck has written a book on the family called Parenting from Surviving to Thriving, in which he addresses practical topics such as restoring relationships after you've blown it and dealing with resentment and rebellion. No family should be without this biblical counsel. And it's available for purchase when you go to insight.org/offer. And please remember, anything you can give beyond the actual cost of the book will go directly toward providing Chuck's teaching here on your station. And we truly need your partnership as the pressures caused by the coronavirus have impacted charitable giving. Even so, God has placed Insight for Living in a strategic role these days. While churches have been required to curtail their worship services, radio and the internet have proven highly effective for those who are either self-quarantined or searching online for hope and inspiration. In that sense, we are never closed down, and God is using these channels to reach families around the clock. So please remain faithful and consistent with your contributions to Insight for Living. Chuck?
Insight for Living is a family. We're all about the life of one another, which is why we call our program Insight for Living. During the season of social distancing and self-quarantine, we're especially grateful to receive your letters, your emails, and social media comments. Your messages break the deafening silence of isolation and remind us that we're going through this pandemic together, just like a family. Very recently, one of your fellow listeners left this comment on our Facebook page. Here's what she said. Chuck, it was 5 a.m. when I was on my way to work as a registered nurse. I was sick to my stomach, thinking about what I might encounter. But when I turned the radio on, you were teaching on Daniel. You said, "No matter how dark and scary the lion's den is, our God is bigger." That was exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you for the reminder that fears can be tamed when you give them to God. Her comment touches me deeply. God is using Insight for Living to deliver courage to this woman who battles the virus and serves her community on the front lines, where it's so dangerous. I'm grateful she's a part of our family. Well, just as listeners around the world need Insight for Living, I can assure you that we certainly need you. Let's not allow the current crisis to become a barrier for bringing fresh hope and courage to those who need a calming reassurance. Hey, we're in this battle together as a family. And as you are able to give a gift to Insight for Living Ministries, please do that. Your contribution will make all the difference. Dave will give our contact information now, and I look forward to hearing from you today.
All right, thanks, Chuck. To respond to the need, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. You can also give a donation online at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us for more instruction on resolving conflict within the home. That's Wednesday on Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll.
The preceding message, Resolving Those Parent-Child Conflicts, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.